Auto insurance can all seem the same until it comes time to use it. So don't get stuck paying more for less coverage. Switch to USAA Auto Insurance and you could start saving money in no time. Get a quote today. Restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Mission Daily. I am joined today with your, you know who she is, the boss lady, Stephanie Postles.
Hello.
Making kid
hello.
Stories. When are we going to hear the story?
I'd say give me a month. A month. Hold me accountable.
1 month. Let's go. You got 30 days from the date of this episode.
Oh, wait, no, sorry. 30 days to test the market. And then if people want this, then 30 more days to launch a pilot of.
But releasing the story is not hard.
No, I want to make sure people want stories, want good stories. That's what I'm like. Give me 30 days to test the concept, yeah. And then I'll show you all the data, and I will decide.
You know what I say? You can't ask people if they want something. You have to just make it available and see if they buy it. I don't know.
I feel like they always say, "Build it, and they will not come." Like, don't just assume they're going to come because you build something.
I agree
with
that.
Want it.
No, oh, 100%. If you build it, they may or may not come. But here, the problem with asking people their opinion is, people are inherently really bad at explaining what they would actually do. Just really, really bad. And so
I'm not asking for too many opinions. Don't worry. And if anyone also is like, what is Albert and Stephanie talking about? Go back to the previous episode towards the tail end of it where we're talking about this new project I'm working on. And he is now holding me accountable to like deliver things. So
I'm not even, I want to read it or I want to hear it. Or I want, you know, I'll play it for my daughter and see what she thinks.
All right.
I'm excited for you.
I am too. Okay.
But don't be listen, I used to teach this. I used to teach school. I think people know that, but I was a grade school teacher. And I never forget this one kid who told me how he wanted to be a rapper like Eminem. I was like, all right, let me hear something. He never had anything to say. And then I was like, okay, were you working on songs? He's like, yeah. And I was like, you know, the key to being a famous musician is performing the song. And I'd be like, well, you should just do it here right now. Like, you know, like in between classes when everyone's not around watching you. He's like, you know, it's not ready. It's like, man, you, I can already tell you, you're not good at this.
Like, you're terrible. And there you have it. Teacher of the year, Albert Chow.
I was like, unless you can get in front of someone and be bad, you will never be good.
He probably has to wait for his traumas in his life to happen before he can have rap songs.
Like, I mean, do you think that everyone, like from day, like every stand-up comedian from day one, they got on stage and they were like universally cheered? I bet they sucked. I'm sure they sucked. No one's good at something the first time they do it. So anyways, I told him, you got to perform if you want to be good.
Well, we should follow up with him and see if he ended up being a rapper.
No, I've not seen him.
Nope, he has not.
Oh yeah, you know Machine Gun Kelly was my kid. No, it wasn't.
Okay, so don't try and divert our conversation today. I already am going to be accountable to what I promised in the last episode. I will let you hear something. I will let you know if people like my new project idea. But today's episode is a very different take because we are revisiting the conversation from two episodes ago where you did a solo rant. You were talking about something about insurance and all these different pieces on your own.
Is insurance what you think it is? And like, does, you know, and I was imploring someone, please disrupt the industry, because let me tell you guys something. As of this moment, listening to this episode, I can tell you that my house, the ordeal I'm dealing with in my townhouse, has still not been resolved. Now I have paid to resolve it, but it's not resolved.
Okay, so you have a townhouse. Where is that again?
It's in Maine.
In Maine. And it had water damage because of flooding.
It had long-term water damage. So to recap everybody up to speed so you can hear about this story. So just imagine, everyone's got to, you know, you got to take my side. You got to imagine you're me. So you have a townhome. Okay. It's for rent. Yep. There's a nice tenant in there. Everything's going great. But the tenant notices every now and then there's a little water. Like water shows up through the floorboards and they can't figure out why. It's like, damn.
It's like water
underground.
Underneath
your
house.
That bad, but there's some water, right? And like the materials are so then I get a call that the material is actually starting to shift. Like it's becoming a real problem. And all this time I've had different companies come and check the water. I've had plumbers. Nobody can find a leak. I've surveyed the neighborhood. Nobody has a leak. So my townhome is adjacent to two units. No different from anyone else's townhome. I got unit one, unit three. I'm in unit two. So unit three, no leaks. Unit one, no leaks. Unit three actually gets sold. They do it in, you know, like when you sell a house, people – check it out. No leaks, no water damage, nothing. So it's fine. So like, this is your problem. I was like, all right, damn. So I try to make it
so
clean.
So you're now just in unit one, right? So unit
I'm in
two
unit
and three.
Two. So
you're in the middle. You're the hamburger. Okay.
Yeah,
so you've got, okay,
yep.
Got it.
So I'm like, all right, well, what am I supposed to do? And the insurance company said, hey, listen, unless you can prove the water is coming from your unit, we can't cover it. Because the type of insurance I have, most people, if you're not familiar, flood insurance is bought separately. And flood insurance is not required by your lender if you are not in a flood area, basically. Mm-hmm. So I'm not in a flood area. In fact, my house is on like a hill. You know what I mean? Like the water would have to rise like 35 feet to even crest a bank or something like that. Which it's, by the way, there's no bank to crest because it's not over the water. It's literally on a hill. You know what I mean? So it'd have to come out of the banks of the river up another 35 feet or whatever. I should be protected. So like no one can figure this out. And so the insurance company sends the leak detection company to my house and they determine since there's no evidence of pipe damage and there's no reporting of the other units that there's water, they're going to deem it groundwater, not covered, your problem. Okay, so I'm like, what am I supposed to
do?
So
deem it groundwater? What do you mean deem it groundwater?
They've said the source of water is from the ground.
Okay.
Which is not covered.
Yeah, got it.
Okay, well, I was like, how do I prove it's not groundwater? It's like, you have to take up the floor. I was like, okay. So I talked to my tenant, and she agrees. We take the floor up. The floor comes off. There's like and there's still no evidence of water. So they're like, all right. So like, there's no like plumbing or anything underneath the cement. It's deemed groundwater, not covered. So I order people to come fix my unit. But luckily for me, literally the day before my unit starts getting repaired, all the water starts gushing in. Turns out it is from unit one.
Wait, what do you mean gushing in? Like, what did it look like? Were you there? Did you see it? I'm just imagining like you got your floorboards off.
Okay, so it's not like in a movie, but like imagine if somebody just try to picture somebody running maybe a garden hose right mm-hmm. under your doorway and water coming through the bottom of your doorway at the rate it's coming out of a light garden hose.
Okay, that's a lot of water to be coming into your house.
It's a lot of water. So we're like freaking out. We knock on the door, tell them, hey, you got to shut the water. Their water tank is leaking. It is molding. There's like mold everywhere, which means the water's been present for a long time. So now we have the source of water. In fact, their insurance company calls me and says, hey, we're taking liability on this claim. So I'm like, oh, cool. So I tell my insurance company that this has gone down and they say, well, we got to send an adjuster. So they send an adjuster. And when you live in a town, so this is where like the law starts, like it's like gets super confusing. So when you buy a policy for your townhome, often it is underwritten based upon the current master policy of the complex. Mm-hmm. So the complex might already say we cover certain things. So your policy is written around that to only cover what your master policy doesn't cover. Mm-hmm. So my insurance company literally says, hey, we're not the primary. The HOA is the primary. They have to file the first claim. If they file the first claim and it's denied, then it goes to us. Then we can work with the other insurance company. And you think, okay, how long is this going to take? So this happened on September 24th. Still, everyone's pointing fingers at each other, even though the insurance company of Unit 1 is saying, we're in charge. So these two the HOA is not taking control. I'm not taking control. And meanwhile, I'm just incurring costs. But fast forward this Monday, some water started leaking in. So I'm like, what is this? Right? And so I had already had my place like certified, examined one more time, no leaks. And I asked the neighbor to produce a similar document, to which they did not produce one. And my first initial thought is, I think I'm going to sue this person.
So okay.
Because now they're saying, now we don't know the source of water because they're saying it's fixed.
So you're basically
now all the insurance
them,
companies are trying to back out.
Oh, so because you were asking them, hey, show me the records that you fixed your water heater thing.
Yeah, show me
and
your
they
records.
They won't show it to you.
They have not. I don't know if they will or won't, but they have not. They have not. I asked.
And now more water's leaking in.
More water leaked in.
And they said they fixed it.
They said they fixed it.
Uh-huh. And so basically maybe it sounds like they're trying to not have their insurance have to pay for this. Maybe they're like, oh yeah, it's not us. Like, right? Is that what's happening?
Well, their insurance their insurance has already claimed liability.
Okay. So then why would she, I don't get why she wouldn't move forward. She, he, it, they. Why
well, it's are not they moving them. Forward? So it's that, this is the whole point, is it's not, they aren't the ones responsible for reimbursing me for repairing my unit. Meaning my neighbor's not responsible. Their insurance company's responsible. But insurance companies have this magical way of not paying.
Mm-hmm. So right now you still have water going in your unit. Your tenant, you're paying for them to stay in an Airbnb right now.
Yeah, I'm paying for my tenant to, because they've been vacated because the floorboards all had to come out. There's water everywhere.
Yeah.
My tenant's out. The floors need to be redone. Everything needs to be hit with like antimicrobial, anti-mold stuff. But because no one is paying for this, so like in an ideal world, your primary insurance company should cover the costs, and it's called subrogation. So when someone else is liable, your insurance company should enter subrogation with the other insurance company so they could pay back. So like think about it as like, and let's make up some companies. Oh, that's fine. State Farm's over there. Liberty Mutual's mine. Here's me as the customer. State Farm. Liberty pays me, and then Liberty goes to get reimbursed from State Farm. That should be how it goes. But right now, everyone's pointing fingers at it saying repairs can't begin because the water's not solved. And I'm trying to be like, I've solved the freaking water on my side.
But wait, you haven't. Water's still going into your house, right?
I mean, of what I'm responsible for, right?
Oh, okay.
Because unit two, because I can't be responsible for their pipes. Mm-hmm. I've paid to have plumbers come and look and make sure that my unit is fine.
Mm-hmm. So then moral of the story to me sounds like my key takeaway, don't invest in townhomes. That sounds like what
I'm
hearing here.
Well, that's not, I don't think that's a reasonable option for most people. I mean, there's a lot of townhomes for a reason. Yes, they do cost a little bit less. You don't in a single family home.
I mean, I just mean as like coming in and investing in one though. I'm like, I don't know. Sounds like a lot of liability, especially if you're the hamburger and you're surrounded by other townhomes on the outside. It sounds like it could add a lot more liability versus investing in like a single family home that you rent out.
Yeah,
else.
Possibly. I mean, I wouldn't say don't invest in townhomes because there's clearly millions of townhomes there. But yeah, it does add a different layer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. So like a difference would be like my roof is covered, right? So like if you had a single family home and your roof got damaged, you'd be on the hook for that. Insurance doesn't cover roofs.
Okay. So, I mean, like what do you think is going to take to resolve this? Like, I mean, every day you're losing money. Right?
Every day. Literally every day. This is becoming the biggest nightmare of my life right
now.
Like,
how long could this go on for? Like, do you think it could go on for a month?
It's been going on since the summer.
How much are you paying your Airbnb, like, every day?
$150 a night.
Wow.
Well, I mean, it's going to stop eventually because...
So you're paying, like, $3,000 or more.
Yeah, it's more than I collect in rent.
And you're paying the mortgage to your townhome.
Yes.
Shooey, sorry, not to make it worse and remind you of...
Yeah, well, I mean, the only way is like if you have, I have not housed the person that long. This started happening September 24th, right? So I've not housed the person that long. The big challenge will be, so it only started recently that I've been housing the person, and I'm going to have the floor in place and moving forward. But it just feels like the reason why I was on such a rant last week is because you can do everything right and still be faced in what you've experienced in your life in face just unbelievable burden of paperwork, mm-hmm. even from the people that are supposed to be on your side.
Yep.
And it's just super annoying. And I can see why I've been touting being a landlord for a while, but I can see what it's this experience is bringing me back to right before I got started, and which was my biggest fear.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Is that you have a situation where it's like, damn, this is a big pain in my ass.
Yeah. I mean, and it's good to know those things. Like everything has, you know, upside and downside. And yes, you can make great money in real estate. And that can be really good, you know, mostly like a lot of passive income. And one instance like this could, you know, ruin.
Oh, this will. Yeah. This will remove the profits for years.
Wow.
So if I don't get 50% so like that's a big misconception people have about how much money you will make per unit. In general, a 10% cash on cash return is good. So for everyone listening, in 10%, so it's like if you purchase a property for $200,000 and you put in 100, I always use 100 because it's easy math. So you've put 50% of your cash in, you should expect, or your goal would be to earn $10,000 a year. Now people mm-hmm. think, they hear that, like, that isn't selling a lot. It takes you 10 years to get your money back. It's like, that's true, but usually you have a little debt. The other side of the 100,000 that you purchased the $200,000 home is debt. So it's going to, you're already getting your debt paid off. So your property is it's appraising each year at a higher rate. It's appreciating. So you're paying down your debt, you're appreciating, and you're generating 10% of what you paid down in cash. Typically by the end of 10 years or longer, you've made way more, right? Way more. You'll have a substantial sum of cash. The challenge is when, in which everyone knows in the back of their head, but they don't quite account for, is not even repairs. This is what I would call unplanned disaster, right? So an unplanned disaster, even if you have insurance, you might be on the hook substantially. I've already loosely heard from the different insurance companies that there's an $11,000 possible reimbursement. I can tell you that this is going to cost me more than
$40,000. Wow. Wow.
So I could be down negative 30 for something I had no part in doing. It was done to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So part of it is like,
you know, I feel that.
You know what I mean?
I'm over $100,000 right now, or $150,000 in legal fees for insanity. Crazy person coming after me over and over and over, and it's still not ending.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Like, that's why sometimes when I'm talking with you, I was like, man, I don't want to complain, because, you know, Stephanie, at one, she knows what I'm feeling, but hers is a different degree. She's like exponentially more challenging, because it's people and it's children and it's custody and it's all these different things.
Yeah, which I
mine's
I
just think, stuff, which is
yeah. But I think in a future episode, it would be good. I know we've talked about this before, but I do think when all these things happen, and it feels like it's happening to us, how you handle yourself or how you think about things and how you kind of navigate it. And I do think it's really important, because, you know, whether it's this, whether it's legal stuff, whether it's divorce, like whatever it might be, things will happen in life that you have to kind of, you know, figure out how to navigate. And I think this is kind of a cool opportunity to watch you as you go through this and see, you know, how you're going to handle all this. Same thing with me with all my lawsuits. Like, it's interesting watching how one can handle themselves in chaos, in, you know, losing a lot of money, in whatever it might be. So,
yeah. Well, you know how when sports, they tell people, or like, maybe you don't know because you don't watch sports, but
nope.
A lot of times they tell athletes that you don't make decisions in, like, emotional decisions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you lose a championship, the first question a lot of times towards the end of an athlete's career is like, do you want to retire? And it's like, like, deep down in their head, they probably think, yeah, I kind of want to. You know what I mean? Like, I've mm-hmm. been doing this for so long. Like, I just lost the championship. Like, it's so hard to get back. But usually they give a little PC answer. You know, I'm going to spend time with my family and think about it and so on. And that's probably true. Like, you probably shouldn't make a decision when you're angry. Mm-hmm. But it's really testing me, and it's certainly testing you to an even greater degree, which is like that feeling. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you're just so mad and you want to, you're just so mad. Like, you know, and it's almost like you can't think straight, because it's like revenge starts creeping into your brain. Like, I want to get back at people. I need to be justified. I need to be made whole. Like, I want the other person to be punished. There's a lot of thoughts that go through your head.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, and you know it's unhealthy, but you just can't help it. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel that. I've experienced that. And I'm doing this new thing where I'm hypnotizing myself with.
Yeah.
It's actually been really helpful, but it's with this this one app that has been super helpful, because I've had a lot of interesting, weird, different, dark, just thoughts. I mean, with everything that I've been working through the past couple weeks. And there's this app that I'm using that they have something called Paraliminals. I don't know if you've heard about this, where to me, it just seems like they're hypnotizing me and I'm here for it. I'm fully accepting the process. But each day you can listen to a different one. And that has been helpful for me when it comes to like anxiety, or, I mean, it can really cover a bunch of things. This app is a little bit pricey. It's like, I'm currently in the trial still, which is nice. But that's been helpful for my mindset to be able to basically get hypnotized out of my revengeful, anxious, angry thinking that my mind can slip into when it feels like life is happening in a way that I'm not appreciating. So check it out if you want to also try getting hypnotized and see if it helps your mindset. The app is called MindTrax, MindTrax, MindTrax. They basically talk in like both sides of your ear. It's, and apparently this has been around for a while. I don't know how I just heard about it, but like the guy who does these, you'll hear it. One thing's like in your, the right side of your headphones, and then there's another thing in the left side, and it's happening at the same time. And then it's also got noises in the background. And I guess there's some science behind it. I'm not really sure because I'm still more new into it, but I find it very interesting. And I want to look into the science behind what this guy has built. It's this guy, Paul Scheel, which I think he's been around for a while. And sometimes Brian Tracy's on there, which he's pretty well known. And yeah, it's kind of cool hearing how they play with the audio. And I'm just telling myself that it is up-leveling my brain, even if I don't fully understand it, because sometimes there's two different stories playing or two different narratives going at the same time in each ear. Does that make sense how I'm explaining it?
A little and not a lot. So I looked it up on the website and I was trying to figure out what you're saying. It sounded like, I mean, as you were talking, it sounded like you hear complimentary voices almost.
Yeah, kind of. Complimentary
sounds that like try to encourage you and soothe you and take your mind to a specific place.
Like imagine on one side, like your right side of your ear, it's like, you've got everything you need. You're fully capable. Everything's coming to you easily. And then on the other side at the same time, it's like, there was a sailor named Jack. Like, and it's telling two different things, at least for the two that I've listened to. It has two different storylines going and it's got sounds going on, but they're in different ears.
Handle it.
Try it. At first I was like, oh my God, I might have an aneurysm and it might be healing me. I don't know. So you know what? At this point, I'm willing to try anything to see what can help in the current circumstances that I'm in. So
go
get yourself hypnotized and let me know if it takes away your angry, revengeful thoughts. Cause it took mine away.
Well, I will say I only have them when I start hearing the problem, but like in general, I don't.
Oh.
So
basically I'm invoking the thoughts from you right now by being like, whoa, that's a lot of money you're losing there, Albert. Oh, every day. Painful.
Yeah. Right now, I don't know how much money I will end up losing, but I'll have an update on it. But it just really sucks because, like I said, you think that your insurance is on your side, but it doesn't feel like it at all. It's like, well, how can you prove it's from their water? It's like, what the fuck else could it be from?
Let's tag him in this episode.
Are you mid fault? Like, why are you trying to get out of this? Well, I think they want me to just go directly to them, meaning try to place my claim against the State Farm.
Probably. Like that'd be easier.
I think they're like, that way they're not out any money because then they would be like, we have to separate. Like, oh, Jesus. It's like, I'm right. Changing. I can tell you right now, there's zero chance I stick with Liberty Mutual. Zero. They're done to me. They're
tell them. Tag him in this. You're done, Liberty.
I've worked with State Farm for all my other properties. This is my first time ever working with Liberty Mutual. I've never suffered more than this moment.
Damn, there's their tagline right there. They better,
they better figure something out. Sucks. Fuck that animal.
Well, with that, you guys, we will leave off on a happy ending. That's their mascot,
Limu Emu. Limu Emu. Like, I hate you. And if you have Liberty Mutual, you're fucked. Good luck.
There you go. Albert still needs his hypnotism. So with that.
And if you want to sponsor our show, I'll take it back.
We'll take it back and say something friendly. So.
Yeah, I'll sell out, baby. Maybe I had a bad experience. Everyone else had a great experience. You know what I mean? But now my experience is made good because you now paid for my jam. I'm not even trying to make a profit. You know what I mean? I just shouldn't be out.
Well, you tell him. So hit us up, Liberty Mutual, if you're trying to sponsor this. And other than that, everyone who's listening, we hope you found this somewhat interesting, a little bit windy of a conversation, and give us 1 month. Well, we'll still have an episode next week for you, but in a month, Albert and I will follow up with the project I'm working on.
I want to hear
happening
it.
With him. We'll have lots of follow-ups, and until then, we'll see y'all next time.
Sounds good.